Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're here at Fantastic Fest. This is our first review episode of 2017.
Day two, baby.
Day two.
How you feeling, man?
I feel great.
So do I.
Energy's good.
Yeah.
Had a bit of a cold before I came here. It's still lingering, but...
The power of film.
That's right.
Killed your cold, man.
Yeah, it has. It has. So it's been a blast, and we're only on day two.
So the last time we recorded, it was super late at night.
It was.
And we had just, like, traveled for 12 hours.
Yeah.
So if it sounds weird, I apologize.
It's all good.
I was super tired.
Yeah, same here.
I just wanted to go to bed.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling good now.
Yeah, man. So what we're going to do with this episode is, just like previous years, we're going to record whenever we can. And so the sounds, the ambiance might be a little bit different from review to review. You'll just have to deal with it. And I'll work some editing magic. You may not even notice the difference.
We're about 100 feet from the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah.
And you don't really hear it. But 100 feet over that way is bedlam.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's pretty nuts.
Oh, yeah.
But,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been really awesome so far, man.
Yeah.
Everything I kind of thought that might happen hasn't happened.
Yeah.
The vibe is really good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah. Everybody's here just to have fun and, like, be together. Like, because... It's the people that make this fest, right?
Totally.
It's not a few individuals. Like, nobody's above this fest.
No.
And that's what I love about it, so...
So, a little bit of a sidetrack. Adrian and I went and got some barbecue yesterday.
That's right,
Holy
man.
Shit, did we get some barbecue.
Yeah, we went to La Barbecue.
Yeah. What did you call it? Your, like, death row meal?
Yeah, that's my final meal request. I was like, if I ever land on death row, and they're like, what's your final meal? It's going to be a pound of brisket, a couple pounds of ribs, and a sausage link.
Yeah. Yeah.
From La Barbecue.
Yeah, it was like... One bite in, I'm just like, man, this might be like the best meal I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Like, it was intense.
It's an all-timer, man.
And we had this giant freaking plate of meat.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, we're going to kill this.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, I'm like, holy crap, am I full?
Yeah. Same here. Yeah. We took some to go, and that was like my lunch today, so.
Yeah, so I personally think that La Barbecue is better than Franklin.
Same here.
That might be some fighting words, but
yeah.
I tried them both. I think I like La Barbecue better.
Yeah.
They have better beer. Too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, man, nothing but love for both, but definitely La Barbecue has the edge.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Really
I think
good.
It was, for me, it was like the, I guess you could say the crust of the brisket.
Yeah.
The charred bits, man, that was just
whole
thing.
They gave us burnt ends.
Yeah.
Oh, those were amazing.
That was outstanding.
Amazing meal.
Yeah.
I heartily recommend La Barbecue, man. It's so good.
And if you are going to check out La Barbecue, do the pre-order like we did.
Yeah.
You skip the line, and it's way better.
We walked in there like the pimps that we are.
That's right.
Yeah. Big giant line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great way to start yesterday, man.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to follow the same sort of format as our review shows. So we're going to have a few main reviews, the lightning round, and closing thoughts, and that'll be an episode.
I don't want to do a rant.
Yeah, no, same here.
I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, not here.
No, this is pretty good.
So. Yeah. So let's jump into it. Our first review... Excuse me. First review is a movie called Thoroughbreds.
Is it weird that I'm going to call it the opening gala?
No. I would say it.
It was.
They moved it into that spot.
Yeah, so Thoroughbreds, the opening gala of Fantastic Fest.
Yeah. Written and directed by Corey Finley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the movie?
So, two privileged girls who think they have some serious first world problems decide that they're going to do some bad stuff. I'm not going to tell you what the bad stuff is, but Olivia Cooke.
Yeah.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
And Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, his final role.
His final role.
Yeah.
Did you know he was in it?
I did.
I didn't.
Oh,
and
wow.
It came up on the screen. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
This is going to hurt.
It is, yeah.
This was a complete surprise.
Yeah.
This is a really damn good film.
It is.
The leads are incredible.
Absolutely.
Led by a really amazing script.
Yep.
I love both the women. They're like top talent right now.
Absolutely.
And them just going off each other, yeah. back and forth, so good.
Oh yeah.
Worth the price of admission just for that.
Yeah.
And hey, it's really funny.
It's hilarious. It's
hilarious.
I didn't know it was gonna be that funny.
No, just them like bitching at each other.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, they were like telling jokes and like zinging each other. And there was visual comedy with the stepfather in the movie.
Yeah.
He had like ridiculous workout gear on, and him showing up was just a hilarious comedy beat. I was not expecting that.
So yeah, we all knew about Olivia from like Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. Everybody loves that film. And we all know Anya Taylor-Joy from like The Witch and yeah. Split.
Yeah.
Yeah, two of the up-and-coming actresses in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But this one is, yeah, a complete surprise. And I don't even know where this came from. Like, I know it came from Sundance.
Yeah.
I've heard a little bit about it.
Yeah.
And I hate Sundance films usually, so yeah. That's usually a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, the hype is here, friends.
Yeah.
The hype is here. And it is good.
Yeah. Highly recommend it, man. Like, if you check out the trailer and if you're remotely interested, definitely check it out. It moves really well, too. Like,
yeah.
I love the way they edited the film because I was always interested. And just a one little quick note, Corey Finley, I guess he's the playwright.
Yeah.
So this was originally going to be a stage play. Then he adapted it for film and rewrote it, and it's so cool.
When you watch the film, you can totally tell. Everything's kind of a two-shot, the entire film, pretty much.
Yeah.
Not a lot of kids, like a Kevin Smith film.
Oh,
not a ton of camera movement going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can definitely tell its roots, but you know, every Kenneth Lonergan film starts off as a play.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not saying anything bad about this film.
Yeah, it's not a knock. It's just a cool fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he talked about how it like went from something else. It was a completely different film slash play when he first started to write it.
Yeah.
And then he just went a complete 180 and changed it up. And it's for the better, I think.
Totally.
I think it's a tight, tight film.
Right it is.
Now. Yeah. And it has a major distributor. It looks very indie, but Focus Features has it.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
People will be able to see this film.
Yeah. So yeah, I would have loved to have, you know, seen Frances McDormand yell at a lot of people, but
and kick kids in the crotch.
Yeah, but you know, this was a good substitute.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got no problem with that one.
yeah, I had a really great time, and I was just like after the screening, I was like, yeah, this is Fantastic Fest, man.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah, let's buckle up, let's watch some more movies.
If you were to rate it, what would you rate it?
I'm probably about a 4 out of 5.
I gave it 4.5.
Yeah?
I really liked it.
Right on,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
I think it's going to really surprise people.
Oh, absolutely.
I have no idea when it's opening.
Yeah.
But probably fall.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Sooner the better.
Yeah.
For sure. Let's move on to our next movie. This is an animated feature. Do you know more about the production? And like?
I really didn't look.
No? Okay, but it's
Fantastic Fest, baby.
Yeah, there was some former Studio Ghibli people involved, I guess.
Nice.
This one is called Mary and the Witch's Flower. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this film?
So, directed by Hiramasa Yonobayashi. Hopefully I said that right.
Yeah.
A young woman finds out that she's part of a descended line of witches. And stuff happens.
Yeah.
I'm not going any further than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is another shock.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really know anything about this other than it was an animated film, and I love animated films.
Yeah.
Especially in the Japanese. Yeah, it's very, I kind of said like Kiki's Delivery Service meshed with like Castle in the Sky or Ponco Rosso or something like that. Like old Miyazaki, not new Miyazaki.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. This is the kind of animation that I like.
Cool.
It's for kids and adults.
Absolutely.
Smart enough for both people.
Yeah.
And it really works. Like it has cats in it, and I love cats.
Me too.
Cats are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say enough good about this film.
Yeah.
Giant smile
across
my face the entire film.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely.
And the score is just, it's pitch perfect. Like, it's not like intrusive. It just kind of gives you a gentle prod in the right direction.
Yeah, like, the main character has a broomstick.
Yeah.
And the broomstick is awesome. And the cat trying to get on the broomstick when it's flying away. The animation is so good.
Oh, it's spectacular.
We're at a point now where, like, Digimation is so good. Like, the characters look like they're still kind of hand-drawn.
Yeah.
But the backgrounds are so good.
Yeah.
I love this film.
Yeah.
Another great pickup from G-Kids.
Yeah.
G-Kids is, like, the the giant animation studio in North America, and they kill it every year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Red Turtle last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a huge smile on my face when I saw their logo in the beginning.
Some people clapped.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know. I was like, yeah, respect.
That's worthy of applause, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one I thought was really cool because I think everybody can relate to being a fish out of water because she just moved to this little countryside town. We didn't really know much about her, and we don't need to.
No.
Up to that point, all we need to know is that she's in a new place. She doesn't feel confident in herself. She feels embarrassed about her hair, and her hair is like a huge part of the story. It's beautiful. I love that story arc.
Embrace your red hair.
That's right. Yeah, so that kind of thing, like, I was like, man, if this can empower anybody who may have felt this way, and I think all of us at one point in our lives have probably felt something similar at least once. I took a lot out of this one, and I really enjoyed that.
I got a really good vibe off this film. You know when you're in a crowd, and you can tell if people like the film?
Yeah.
I got a vibe off this one. I think everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Once again, have no idea when it's opening.
Yeah.
We're at a film festival.
Yeah.
But, search this one out. It's G-Kids will have it out by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, and our friend Marina Antunes, they had booked it for Spark, right?
They did. It's going to be the Canadian premiere at Spark.
Yeah.
I watched a bunch of shorts for Spark.
Cool.
At least you know the short package will be good.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
Cheap plug for Bill.
Yeah.
It is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the only animated film we're seeing that's not, like not stop motion, but like actual animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah,
everybody to see this one, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool, man. What did you compare it to again? A couple, like a...
Like early Miyazaki.
Yeah.
Like Kiki's Delivery Service, Castle in the Sky.
Yeah.
For all the fighting animation.
Okay,
looks like Castle in the Sky.
Yeah.
Like, even like My Neighbor Totoro. Like,
yeah.
I don't care if you rip films off.
Yeah.
As long as it's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially when it's like ex-members, do what you want.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film.
And I'm sure they did it with, like, Miyazaki's blessing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's their own thing. Like, everything in that film felt original, felt like it had that person's or that collective voice.
Like, have you seen Miyazaki's kids animate Tales of Earthsea?
No, I haven't seen that.
Goro Miyazaki?
Oh, okay.
It's Nausicaa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He just rips that film off.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think it's allowed.
Oh, yeah, for
but, yeah,
sure.
I love this film.
Yeah.
I'm super happy that one hit.
And it looks beautiful on the big screen.
One thing I gotta say about the Draft House, their digital projectors are cranked brightness-wise.
Yeah.
Compared to our ones in Victoria.
Yeah.
Picture looks amazing.
Yeah.
Everything has looked good.
Yeah.
And the sound is, like, top-notch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Draft House.
Spot on, dude.
Yeah, technically perfect specs on everything here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to our next movie. This one is called The Killing of a Sacred Deer. It's a Yorgos Lanthimos film.
Which should be enough.
It should be enough, dude.
One of the master filmmakers going right now.
Absolutely.
You saw this before me.
Yeah.
And as you just told me, you tried to be very light on your recommendation.
Yeah, I was trying to tone it down because inside I was like,
bursting at the seams.
Yeah, man.
I'm a really big fan of this guy, man.
Hell yeah.
When I see his name, it's an automatic.
Yeah.
And keeping with the trends.
Yep.
Another 5-star.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yorgos Lanthimos film.
Absolutely.
This is a genius film.
Yep.
An absolutely genius film. Colin Farrell, Nicole Kidman, Barry Jigohan, and a couple other people. I don't know their names, but holy crap. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Oh, wow. Just the idea of it. How far should we go with this one?
I don't want to get too far into it because there's a teaser and there's a trailer, which doesn't get that deep into it, right?
Yeah.
So there's let's try navigate this. So the kid, what's his name? Martin.
Yeah.
Martin. It opens with like Martin, played by Barry. Is it Kagan? I think it's a K.
No, it's Barry Jigohan or something.
Jigan.
Like that.
Yeah. Jigan. Barry.
He was here.
Yeah, that's cool.
I should have heard his name pronounced, but he has a thick accent.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed. So his name's Martin. He meets with Colin Farrell's character. And they're just having this weird conversation, right? And it's like kind of going with all of his films. Like, they say stuff like just very straightforward, and it's almost to the point where they're too honest and maybe share too much.
Yeah,
say things they're not supposed to say. But I think that's Lanthimos just kind of putting us on trial here.
Yeah, like the Pharaoh character meets with this kid, and he becomes very quickly aware. Everybody becomes very quickly aware that there's something really weird going on here.
Yeah,
in this relationship.
Yeah,
and I don't think Colin Farrell's quite in on the joke.
No, he's not.
Because this kid is off.
He is.
And the main whole idea of the plot is that this kid, he's got some ulterior motives.
Yeah.
And he's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not getting any farther than that.
Same here. It escalates and escalates and escalates. And it builds to something that I was, like, having a freaking blast with while I was watching it. It's a lot of tension, a lot of discomfort, and a lot of dry humor, a lot of dark humor. This is a funny film.
It's the way they talk.
Yeah.
The cadence.
Yeah.
It's almost like, at times, like they're robots.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very frank and weird.
There's not a lot of inflection in their voice.
No, just like every Lanthimos film, people talk weird.
They do.
And just like every Lanthimos film, they're in a different universe.
They are. They're not, it's not our world.
No, it's definitely not.
It's his.
Yeah.
It's like he's created his equivalent to like a Marvel universe.
Yeah, and it's the most fucked up, weird place.
It is.
What do you think of Colin Farrell?
I thought he was really good.
Yeah. He knew when to bring it, but he knew when to keep it really straightforward.
Yeah.
And the revelation here is Nicole Kidman.
Absolutely.
She is freaking fierce in this film.
Yeah.
One minute she is like the doting housewife, and the next minute she's like, has this look on her face like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so good in this film.
Yeah.
And she does a lot of heavy lifting in this film.
Absolutely. And what makes that even more impressive is they're working within the limits of not being able to inflect with their voices. They can't go up and down. They can't have, like, wild facial expressions.
No.
It's such a subtle but effective thing that I'm sure Lanthimos prepped him for.
So Barry Jeehan, during the Q&A, was asked the question, so how did they prepare? And what did Lanthimos say to you during the takes? And he'd be like, higher.
Really?
Lower.
Wow.
Or, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
That was his, like, cut.
Wow. So he wasn't, like, super method or...
Which is weird, because you watch these films, and you automatically assume that he has, like, storyboards.
Oh, yeah.
Of everything, down to, like, the millimeter.
It seems very precise.
Can I also talk about the shot selection in this film?
Hell yeah.
I loved every frame of this film.
Absolutely.
My God. Tracking shot.
Yeah.
After tracking shot. After just keep on giving me trapping shots, dude. I freaking love that
stuff. Yeah. It's one of those ones where I felt the depth and the geography of where they were moving. Like, there's a lot of walking down hallways and approach, like, establishing shots that start just outside the room. And it kind of zooms in a little bit. Well, it doesn't zoom in, it tracks in. And it's a really cool technique that it was like the film equivalent to a page turner is how I handled it.
There's another amazing shot of Nicole Kidman and the son in the hospital from the top.
Yeah.
If you see the movie Zodiac,
it's
like what Fincher does over the bridge.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I always kind of think all these movies are in hell.
Okay, yeah.
And hell's got a really great DP.
That's true.
Because this film is stunning.
It is.
Yeah, my God.
One of the best shot movies of the year.
Yeah.
And one of the best movies of the year.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Some people are going to hate this film.
Absolutely.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Just like all of his other films.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if you like it.
Yeah.
And I could tell from my screen, people were alienated.
Really?
But
that's too bad.
I'm just like, you know what? I don't know why you're alienated.
Yeah.
It's really straightforward filmmaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he touches some weird subjects.
Yeah.
But it's so incredibly basic and so incredibly well done.
Yeah.
I cannot help but bow to this dude.
Absolutely.
He's amazing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one just floored me, dude. And to have to bottle it up all day long was tough.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of recording this podcast out of order. So yeah. Adrian saw this film like 12 hours ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just walked out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first 5-star film of Fantastic Fest.
Nice. Same here.
Yeah,
same
it's here. Only my 5th one of the year.
Nice.
So that's
huge,
that's pretty
man.
Big.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah. It's also playing at VIFF, right?
Yeah. So all my friends in Vancouver can get their ass kicked by that film. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit back twiddling with my fingers going, ha, you just wait, bastards.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I want to mention, too, is if you're not familiar with Lanthimos' films, check out Dogtooth and The Lobster. And if you're down with those films, if you enjoy them, give us a try. If this is your first Lanthimos film, I think maybe give it a shot, too, if you're interested.
This is his most basic film.
I think so, too.
It has it has acts.
Yeah.
Everything is perfectly laid out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is simple stuff.
Yeah.
You might not dig the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
But I don't see why you wouldn't. Like, yeah. I find this incredibly straightforward.
It is.
Yeah.
I thought so.
It's a thing of beauty, man.
It is. It's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. That's awesome.
As I said, the first great film of Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, man.
I'm not ranking stuff right now.
Okay.
But I get to watch it again next week.
Sweet.
It's definitely going to help with my ranking.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It opens in October.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm going to be all over it.
Sure you'll be able to find it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can move on to the lightning round, and this is just where we talk about other movies, just kind of give them quick and dirty reviews. Don't give them the full review treatment, but we'll give you our impressions, and hopefully you enjoy that, too.
There's some good stuff here, too.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff in here.
So good.
So I watched Vampire Clay.
Yeah.
We both watched that.
Yeah, it was the first film we watched at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know anything going in.
All I knew was it was the closing film at TIFF Midnight Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, in a nutshell, this is a clump of clay that is a vampire.
That was buried in the ground to stop people from using it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how folklore.
Yeah. And it gets dug up by an art school teacher.
Yeah.
Who puts it into circulation during the week where they're learning how to craft clay.
Ooh, free clay.
That's right. It's crazy, man. Like, they come up with some really inventive ways to get blood onto a clump of clay.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. The clay needs to be fed blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. This film looks like it cost about $5 to make.
Yeah.
But it's pretty inventive for a $5 film.
It is.
I actually kind of really like this film until the end.
Yeah.
Where it has like 17 endings.
Yeah.
It really drags it down.
It does.
Really drags it down.
Big time.
But I had a lot of fun getting there.
Yeah, same here.
So I'm not going to slag it.
Yeah.
I rated it 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
It is.
For the first 80 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
And then 85 minutes later, it peters out.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I really enjoyed the makeup and the special effects.
Yeah.
It all felt very practical and looked really cool, man. Like you mentioned, the budget seemed pretty small, but that's like not a knock on the movie. They used what they had, and you know, it felt like a throwback to like 70s, 80s horror films.
Or like Dead Alive or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, not quite as elaborate as Dead Alive, but I remember when we reviewed Dead Alive on Movie Club, and Adrian was like, it was so gross. And I'm like, it's practical effects.
That's right.
It's not shiny.
Yeah.
Stuff looks real.
Yeah, yeah.
As real as that stuff could get.
It had fabric. It had feel to it.
Yeah, it was really
weight
good.
To it, yeah.
But, it's a lot of people haven't liked it here.
That's too bad.
I just don't think they found it funny as we did.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
So did I.
Yeah, I was howling through the whole thing.
We were both laughing through the whole thing. It was hilarious. It's so cheesy, it's funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's like tentacles, a bit of clay going around the screen.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's something that I think would play really well, like with a group of friends late at night kind of thing.
Hey, it could definitely go worse than watching this after drinking a couple beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Vampire Clay, I think it's cool, and if you get a chance, you might like it. Then I watched Thelma. This one, I'm in the 3% on this one. I was not the biggest fan of this one, unfortunately. Didn't really vibe with it too much.
I would say this is probably the artiest film here.
Yeah.
Joachim Trier is a really arty filmmaker, very cerebral. Always great looking films.
Yeah.
But they're always like character studies, more or less.
Yeah.
This one's about a woman who just has the ability to change things around her.
Yeah.
And you're not really told why.
Yeah.
It's just her life. And when she kind of figures out that she is in love with a woman.
Yeah.
And every time she gets near this woman, she has a seizure because, like, the love overpowers her.
Yeah.
And the ground starts to shake and the lights go out and everything gets around her goes haywire because she's got powers.
Yeah.
It's very arty.
Yeah.
I keep on saying that to people.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not in the 3% of this one. I loved this film.
Cool.
This is more of my alley.
Yeah.
I like me some genre, but throw me a little bit of art, man.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with this film.
Nice.
Loved it.
Yeah. And her parents are also Christian, and they check up on her every day, every night. And at first, it's, well, I don't want to talk too much about that.
But I do love the use of religion in the film.
Yeah.
It's an actual thing.
Yeah.
Used to do something, and I love it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
This is like one of the underrated films of the festival so far.
Cool.
Says me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, it's cool you didn't like it, man.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
There's some bagpipers coming along right now. This is really weird.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. There's zombies. Oh, my God.
Are they doing a zombie walk?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's hilarious. Here's the thing with our show. We can interrupt it to watch a zombie walk to bagpipes. That's freaking cool, man.
Yeah. It's Fantastic Fest, man. You know, you guys are missing this.
Yeah.
This is pretty spontaneous, I think.
It is.
We had no idea.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I love Thelma.
Cool.
And you know what? The people I've talked to who loved it really loved it.
Cool.
And everybody else who didn't was kind of like, didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
That's cool. Joachim Trier is a really good director.
Right on.
I've loved all this stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's a big recommend for me.
Cool.
I think it's a mediocre for AJ, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I just kept waiting for stuff to happen.
Yeah.
Nothing happens in the movie.
I dug that. I like that you don't get told what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, yeah, you might like it, you might not like it, but that's art, man.
Yeah.
Next, I watch Ichi the Killer, the 4K restoration. Yeah. That movie...
Which I just got an email about. It got picked up by, what was that, Welgo USA?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so there's going to be a theatrical presentation of it.
Cool.
Oh, and in November.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this one, man. It was my first time viewing. I just never made the time for it before. I don't think younger me would have appreciated it, though.
It's a really violent film.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe one of the more violent films ever made, actually.
Yeah, it's so off-putting that a lot of my friends hated it as a result.
Wow.
I was like, oh, man. Oh, dude, you're killing me. But you know what? It's a hardcore movie to watch.
Yeah, it's definitely a classic.
Yeah.
It's one of, as I said, one of Takashi Miike's 9 good films.
Yeah, yeah.
But have you ever seen Audition?
No.
Okay, I'm going to put that in the bank.
Okay.
Yeah, put that in the bank.
Right on.
But yeah, Ichi the Killer was that film. I had an uncut DVD of it, which was really hard to find in North America.
Okay.
And that was the Serbian film of back in the day.
I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, have you guys seen Ichi the Killer?
Yeah.
They're like, no. They're like, oh, this is so gross.
Yeah.
Somebody just got cut in half.
Yeah.
And the noise it made.
Squishy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely film.
It's really cool. I really enjoyed the finale especially. Like, it just builds and builds and builds. And then it delivers in the end.
Yeah, nobody is safe in that film.
Yeah.
Legitimately nobody. Yeah.
I love that. They cross over lines and borders you should not cross.
That's what I used to love about Takashi Miike. Like, every film, he was just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
He's not that filmmaker anymore, which really sucks. But
yeah,
I miss that stuff. But that's really cool. I'm glad you got to see that.
Yeah.
I wish I'd seen it, because my film in that slot really sucked.
That's too bad.
Talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. And then after that, I watched this one this morning called Before We Vanish. Who's that filmmaker again?
Kiyoshi Kurosawa.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I've seen any of his stuff. It's really cool. I loved it. It's crept up on me.
Nice.
It's Do you know the premise of it at all?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think about
it. I'll just kind of gloss over it a little bit. There's some people in this small town who start acting kind of weird, and their loved ones kind of pick up on that, and they're like, what's up with you? And it's as if they're a different person.
Nice.
And they're forced to learn things about the people they're close to.
So it's a Japanese version of Goodnight Mommy.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that, but it's really cool because it holds a mirror up to society and like has really interesting things to say about the things that we maybe place too much value on.
Yeah.
And things that we need to unlearn and relearn and reevaluate.
Yeah, so. I got it later in the fest, and seriously, this was one of my films.
Cool.
When the schedule first came out, I wrote on Twitter, somebody asked about on Twitter what films you were looking forward to, and I said the Joachim Trier and the Kiyoshi Kurosawa films were the sleepers that nobody was talking about.
Yeah.
And one of them, and Thelma already hit for me, so I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, man. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. It snuck up on me, and of course I did cry during the movie.
Nice.
It moved me.
Yeah, man.
In a way I didn't see coming.
Dude, you're getting me super hyped for this. Yeah. I'm loving it.
Wicked.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. I don't want to say too much, because I don't want to give anything away, and all I know is I really enjoyed it. If you see the trailer, if it looks interesting to you, you might enjoy it. So that's it for me for Lightning Round.
Oh, cool. All right. So, yeah, we talked about Vampire Clay and Thelma. Cold Hell, my first midnight movie.
Yeah.
About a kickboxing taxi driver who witnesses a murder, and the murderer keeps on following her around and does a bunch of stuff to her and her friends, and it's boring.
Oh, no.
It's really low budget.
Yeah.
Everybody talked about how great the special effects were and all the chase scenes were. I'm like, I didn't think they were that good. The lead actress has a nice presence to her, but everybody around her was wooden and crappy. I was so bored by it, I just started picking it apart.
Oh, wow.
Everything that just started pissing me off. Everybody seems to like this one.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Oh, too bad.
3%, baby.
That happens, yeah.
I don't like shitty action films.
Yeah.
This feels like a crappy 80s action film.
Yeah.
I hate 80s action films.
Yeah.
Which is why you have Fantastic Fest then, Bill.
That's right.
But yeah, I don't like those.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. You'll probably like it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay.
Bad Geniuses.
Okay. How was that?
It's good. It's what would happen if there was a standardized test across the world, but they kind of found out that, hey, Australia is really far ahead in time.
Yeah.
So we're going to send somebody to take it in Australia and then send them answers to the rest of the world.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
Cool.
It's very mainstream.
Yeah.
But it's really watchable mainstream. It's really long. It needs to be 20 minutes shorter.
Okay.
But it's got some tension in it.
Right on.
Works pretty good.
Cool.
I did not mind this one at all. It's very light.
Yeah.
It's escapist.
Okay.
In the festival of blood and guts, you need a few of these ones.
Oh, yeah.
Cleanse the palate a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. Very, you know, every beat.
Yeah.
Still watchable.
Yeah.
Let the Corpses Tan.
Okay, yeah.
Probably the best looking film I've seen so far.
Yeah.
It's like a Alejandro Jodorowsky film mixed with a Sergio Leone film, which is really weird because, you know, Jodorowsky looks like he's on acid and Leone's like vistas and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like color changes on this giant vista shot and everything goes black and white and then goes to blue.
Okay.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the first 5 minutes. I'm like, holy shit, this is like next level awesome photography.
Yeah.
And then for the next 90 minutes, I was bored to death by the lack of plot.
Wow.
Yeah. It drove me nuts.
Yeah.
It's just, and everything it's like style. You forgot something.
Yeah.
You gotta hook me.
Yeah.
Nothing was hooking me.
Oh, wow. That's too bad.
Yeah, and I saw the press screen this morning, and there was two people there.
Wow. That's too bad.
Yeah.
That sucks when that happens.
Yeah, which is cool, because I just, you know, sat in the back and drank my coffee and ate my snacks.
Nice.
But yeah, that's a disappointment.
Yeah.
Skip that one. You know what? You might like it.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me.
That's right.
And last, and definitely least, Ron Goossens, low-budget stuntman.
Uh-oh.
One of the worst films I've seen this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Too bad.
From the makers of the both New Kids movies, Stefan Frars and Flip van der Kool.
Okay, yeah.
They also made Bros Before Hoes a couple years ago.
Yeah.
When I went to Fantastic Fest, that film was like super offensive in every bloody category you could think of.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
So I laughed while feeling kind of ashamed.
Yeah.
Because it's everything. It's racist, homophobic, misogynistic, you name it, it's there.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
And it's got a redeeming thing at the end that kind of makes it all kind of work.
Okay.
But this one's a complete piece of crap.
that. Oh, too bad.
A guy gets really drunk and gets caught on YouTube saying a catchphrase and everybody becomes viral. And then he's like, I'll become a stuntman because I'm drunk all the time and don't feel pain.
Okay.
He drinks. He has a stunt.
Yeah.
He drinks. You getting the point?
Oh, rinse and repeat.
I'm just like, oh, my God, you got to have something more than this.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. Yeah. It's so, it feels like a work print of a film.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
And it was one of my most anticipated films of the festival.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That sucks.
Yeah, avoid that one.
Yeah, I will.
One of the worst films of the year.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's rough. One more lightning review, just because that's how we roll.
Yeah, man.
We're
poor Adrian's got to assemble this thing.
It's all good, man. I'm used to it, and I've got an idea in my head of how I'm going to do it. So
cool.
We saw Anna and the Apocalypse today.
Yeah, a Scottish
zombie Christmas
musical.
Yeah, two or three of those things I'm usually not a fan of.
Yeah, you know what? This film isn't bad.
Yeah,
it's just not made for me.
Yeah,
I don't like stuff like Glee or High School Musical.
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
And this thing is a flat out, like, kind of like those two. It's not for me.
Yeah.
At the same time, I understand why people like it.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. Like, Zombies is tired.
It's so tired. I was waiting for something original to happen with zombies.
Yeah.
Never happened.
I thought the plot wasn't very original.
No.
I thought the acting was good. I thought it looked okay.
Yeah, the acting, I'm not sure it's actually that good. Or it could be part of the direction, though. Because I didn't believe or feel for any of these people. And there are moments where they ask you to care for these people. There's some emotional beats that just completely miss the target for me. Like, in the biggest way. And it's like, you can give me an ominous score. I'm not going to feel it unless you give me some reason to feel something for these characters.
And do you like homages? So this whole film is all about a zombie apocalypse starting and nobody around them knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Remember the opening scene of like Shaun of the Dead when they first encountered the zombies?
Yeah.
That's in this film.
It is. It really is. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Simon Pegg character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not very original.
Yeah.
But you could do worse.
You could.
Like, other than Ron Goossens, I haven't seen a bad film here.
Yeah.
That's not a bad film.
It's not.
No.
Yeah.
It's definitely worse.
Yeah.
But, I feel bad, too, because they went all out with this one.
They did,
They had people playing bagpipes. And
huge team effort.
Zombies came in the theater.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, was that was awesome.
The movie's going to be sweet.
Huge build-up, yeah.
And then it was the Buffy musical mixed with Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, and Glee.
Yeah.
And High School Musical.
Yeah, but the thing is, I love the Buffy musical.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I wasn't down with this.
Yeah.
I just didn't think the songs were very good.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. I kept waiting for, like, some song to grab me.
As you said, a hook.
Yeah.
Give me a hook.
Yeah. Give me Another Day of Sun.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
Get off the highway, you hoodlums.
Give me a City of Stars. Give me something, man.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing you say about La La Land, that City of Stars song stuck in your head.
Yeah, man. It's too bad. I was really hoping for better, but I'm glad that a lot of people here enjoyed it. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. It's just, we're always going to bring our honesty, right?
Yeah.
We're always going to be honest with our listeners, with each other, and it happens, you know?
Yeah. If you're looking for some kiss assing, there's other podcasts over there.
That's right. They're over there. We're pointing at them right now.
Yeah, those fuckers.
That's right. I'm looking at you, motherfucker. Oh, I'm waving at you now. You're waving back. All right.
Okay, so just a little health check. How you feeling?
Feeling good, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Throat's a little bit itchy still, but these movies are powering me through.
Yeah, I'm not a very loud talker.
Yeah.
And it's really loud everywhere here.
Yeah.
And I have to really throw my voice up a bit. And my voice is thrashed. Like last night I went home and I couldn't talk. Really.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can't hear me, it's not that I am being a dick. I just can't really talk that loud.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but
all good, man.
But yeah, everybody's having a good time. It's really been a fun time.
Absolutely. It's cool. So we'll wrap it up here and we'll check in next time. But before we let you go, you're on Twitter, right?
I am. I'm at SoundJam69. Checking me out for rating updates. I've been rating every film.
Cool.
I'm with a couple I can't talk about yet, but
yeah.
Legit, I'm at like, I think 12.
Cool.
But I think I'm at 10.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, yeah.
More
check
to
it
come.
Check it out. I'm going to be seeing 44 films here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. We'll talk about all of them here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about everything I watch.
Yeah. Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Right on. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account. We're at @TheGreen_Screen. We're on Facebook as well. Hit us up, The Green Screen of Death. Hit like. And be sure to check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere where you can find a podcast. Hey, give us some love, throw us a like, throw us some comments, and it'll help us find an audience.
One of my homeboys said we should get on Spotify.
Spotify, okay.
Yeah.
I'll check that out. I'll find out.
I was like, I use Apple Music.
Oh, yeah, and we're on Google Play, too.
Nice.
So, okay, Spotify, I'll look into it.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thanks very much for checking us out. We'll talk with you next time.
Thanks.